Good morning, brothers and sisters. Yes, and good morning to everyone out there in the big world. Welcome to First Baptist Church. Yes, we've got holy sparks generating within us, and we're all ready to let them go, right? Okay, I should say it again because I'm not quite sure if you're pondering that. We're good. We got a few announcements this week. We have an exciting week. We always have an exciting week. But we have, let's see, I know one, got to remember we've got coffee and conversation from 10 to 11:30 on Tuesday mornings, which is lots of fun. And on Wednesday, come on, you got a busy day, you come home, you have dinner. Why not come on out and spend 45 minutes in prayer for whatever you want to pray about? Maybe you just want to sit there in silence, but why don't you come out on Wednesday night, 6:30? We'd love to have you. Thursday. Do you know what Thursday is? It's the last Thursday of the month. Do you know what that means? That means the 45-plussers. You're not there yet, but just letting you know, are coming to our seniors. I know somebody said, are you saying that 45-year-olds are seniors? No, it's just that if you're home, come on in. And we've got Rosalind Fortier, and she's going to talk to us about her trip to China. So that'll be great. And of course, next Sunday, is the big grand finale. We're going to have a church family barbecue, because we're going to surround Pastor JP and his beautiful family for the last time. He's going to go. We're saying goodbye. So please come, and we are going to have a great family celebration. And I think, I know we've got pictures. If you have a really good picture of your family, we'd love to have it, because we're going to fill the tree up in Fellowship Hall again with your beautiful pictures. And now let us just spend a little time. It's kind of interesting hearing all those songs this morning. You would have thought Pastor JP and I had been talking together, because the prayers I worked on, it's kind of like what the songs are all about. I want to bow in prayer, because today I'd just like to praise Jesus. You want to praise Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you to our Lord and Savior. So let us begin. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, we come together this morning to praise you, to honor you, to spend some time connecting with you in this busy, chaotic life. It is good to be quiet. And to thank you for telling us, as in Matthew 11:28, that you desire us to come to you when we are weary and burdened, and you will give us rest. You desire us to learn from you, for you are gentle and humble at heart. And you, and only you, you are our rock, will give us rest in our souls. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us all this. It is a blessing. May we really know this and practice your will. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the message last week to expose our darkest sins to you. We get so complacent, so comfortable. And last week, we were deeply challenged to go into that place that we have cement walls around, and we don't want anybody to know someplace in there. And sometimes we go ahead, and whatever sin there is in there, we say, we shake our fist at you, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. Well, we were challenged last week to make a commitment to hold those sins at bay. Stop. And Lord, I know how we stumble and we forget. I pray that all those people who made a commitment last week, and for us maybe today, to make that commitment, to keep our eye on you, and we will be free from that slavery of ungodly thinking or ungodly speaking or ungodly behavior. I don't know what it is, but you know. Lord Jesus, let us keep it at bay. I pray for the determination to be resolved to change our ways. It is so difficult. Lord Jesus, you know how hard it is for us to change our ways, to do what you will us in our lives. We pray for you, the Holy Spirit, to revive our hearts and minds, and we will be free and at peace. And now we lift up our pastor, JP, and his entire family, Lord Jesus. They are on another journey. We prayed for them, and we will continue to pray for all of our love to be around them, for your love, your strength, to lift them up, and may they continually be led by you, the Holy Spirit, with perseverance and character and hope. And Lord Jesus, we also pray for our deacons and deaconesses that they may use your gifts abundantly and joyously in their lives. That all, Pastor JP, Danielle, his children, for our leaders in our church, and for each individual here, Lord Jesus, we give you praise. But may we continually be inspired by your word and your presence in our daily walk with you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the nominating committee, and we pray for their steadfastness and discernment in choosing our next pastor. And Lord, we pray fervently for the pastor and his family, the one you have chosen for our church, and may they be brimming with inspiration and love to come here. Lord, Lord, you have said there are many fields to harvest and few workers. Lord Jesus, we just pray. We pray for people to come forward, to be deacons and deaconesses, Sunday school teachers. We need the Sunday school teachers to teach and to show and to lead our little ones with the good news. Lord, we pray for Sunday school teachers. We pray for people to come forward and help with the Vacation Bible School. And maybe there's gifts that people have and they don't even know they could use it in the forming of the Vacation Bible School. Maybe they're the ones who like to make the lists and check everything before it even happens. The background. Let them come forward. Talk to a deacon or deaconess, Pastor JP. We will be so thankful. And Lord Jesus, at this time, let us pray for our children. Let us pray for our children. This world is bombarding them with so much worldly stuff. And we too are being bombarded. You are the rock of stability in this messy world. Our hearts are heavy for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. To believe in you, to receive you into their very being and become your children. To know that you are the rest in their souls. We thank you for the people who are willing to come forward to do the background work in our church. And now let us pray for quick healing, Lord, for Mark, who will be having an operation this week. And we pray for Dwight, who is undergoing treatment. And yet, while he is undergoing treatment, he has found people to pray with, other people that he is encouraging and supporting and possibly leading them to you. And isn't that a blessing? And Lord Jesus, we pray for Dave, who is on the list now to get a new kidney. And we also pray for Bruce Kleinstuber, who is waiting for results. But dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, you know it's not only them we pray for, but we pray for their families. Because when we're under great duress, it is very tiring for everyone, for families, and people get drained. But Lord Jesus, we are here. The church family is here to surround them and lift them up and find the encouragement they need, to find the refreshment they need, to find a kind word and prayers. So may we lift them all up to you. We also pray for those who are silently suffering. Lord Jesus, there's so many people who are suffering with anxiety. I would pray that they could leave their anxiety and their troubles at the cross. I've done it myself, and it is amazing the peace that passes. For depression or addictions or loneliness or grieving, financial, you know, so many issues, husbands and wives, families, children, teenagers, so many burdens that you want us to bring to you. And you will give us rest. So, dear Heavenly Father, I pray that these people too will bring their burdens and lay them at the cross. I pray that the congregation of First Baptist be your feet and hands for their needs. Let us seek one person to be a refreshment in their lives each day. Thank you, God, our Father, and our Master Jesus Christ, for generously pouring grace and peace and direction into our lives. What a gift. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Comforter, Holy Spirit's quiet power indwelling in us. May we continually pray, Lord Jesus, you have put this in the scripture. May we continually pray for our conviction to do your will in our lives. As Paul said to the Corinthians, let us trust steadily in you, to hope unswervingly, and to love extravagantly. We lift these requests up to you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. How's everyone doing? It's great to see everyone this morning. I wanted to start out this morning, and for those who are just new here this morning, you won't understand this, but I want to let you know that we still have M&Ms in our house. Yes. So it must have, worn off on myself and my family, the message from last week ourselves. So we might even have to help invite you guys over to help finish them. No? No? Okay. Anyway, I just want to welcome anyone who's visiting this morning. This morning, I wanted to speak a message that was on my heart called Carry the One, and it's from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And before we go any further, let's bow before the Lord one more time. Lord, we are so thankful that we are able to come into your house, listen to your word. We open our hearts, we open our ears to be able to receive from you, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us in the way that you can, that we would receive and be able to leave here changed by you, Lord, disciplined by you, encouraged by you. Thank you that you always draw us near to you. Lord, we welcome you into our hearts, your presence into this place this morning, to hear from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. And I do have it on PowerPoint as well this morning, if you want to follow along there. I love having a real Bible to be able to read from most of the time. But it's nice having it on PowerPoint as well. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. We're going to be reading this whole scripture, and then we're going to be going through these scriptures piece by piece as well. So let's read. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out of them in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of the Lord. Well, I once heard a pastor say, "Imagine on a Sunday morning, we locked all the doors and everyone showed up and decided, instead of having church like we have it here, that we decided to go out to the streets and tell people about Jesus. That would be kind of different, right? It'd be kind of weird, maybe." Now, at the same time, this is how Jesus has called us to live. To share his word. He wants us to have other people on his heart. Amen? Amen? At the same time, it's important for us to gather as a church, to grow in our faith, to be filled, and to hear the word of God. And I do believe there's something the Lord does in people coming together as well. There's faith in numbers. And we've all experienced that a lot this past 2 years, haven't we? We know what it's like to worship the Lord on our own. We know the impact, the change that happens when people come together. And that's awesome to experience. Now, much of today's culture view church as something, again, to going to church on Sunday morning, something that we do. And maybe that's the beginning and end of it. That's what it becomes to many, many people. But as Christ followers, we know that our faith doesn't end there, right? It actually just begins. Have you ever seen a church? I was a youth pastor at a church that when you left the parking lot, it had signs. And I've seen this in many churches, actually. Has a sign that, when you drive, it says, "Now you're entering the mission field." Have you ever seen that? That's awesome. I love that. It's a great reminder as we're leaving the church. But as we look at this passage today, we are all in one of the two positions in this story. We are either the one on the mat, maybe broken or dysfunctional, in need of a savior. We've all been there, in need of a savior. Or we're called to be the one carrying the one. Now this morning, I have 5 points that carrying the one requires. And we are going to go through these scriptures once more again. So we're going to start back at Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. And I'm going to read these again. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Now, point number one, it's simple but profound. Most simple to understand, but also probably the most difficult to do. And point number one, to carry the one requires that we move, that I move beyond me. That we move beyond ourselves. Those who carried the man to Jesus, they were late to the party, weren't they? Have you ever been in that situation where you're going somewhere, you have fantastic intentions, and everything stands in your way? Maybe it's a restaurant or the bathroom, right? On a road trip. Everyone else heard that Jesus was there and immediately thought of number one. They thought of themselves, and I'm sure that there were people there that just wanted to see Jesus and hear him talk. But I think a lot of people were probably thinking, maybe he can help me, right? Would you think that if you were in that position? If you knew Jesus was coming to a house here in Mount Forest? And you'd heard all these incredible miracles that he was performing. Rumor was getting around about him. Maybe you'd even reserve a chair. Put your coat down, right? save some spots for other people. I'm just kidding. But why didn't all those people bring their one? Or carry someone else. I can promise you that these 4 people who carried this man to Jesus, they probably had needs of their own, right? Now their first instinct, maybe it wasn't their first instinct, but what happened was that they thought of someone else, someone who could not help themselves. Why? Because the man on the mat could not come without being carried, without a lift. So this morning, I want us all to be encouraged to move beyond ourselves. Have you ever heard of the theory if one person reaches one person, and if that person reaches another? Imagine what we could do for the kingdom of God. Right? The very, very words that Mother Teresa told me years ago when I sat down with her in Calcutta. That's how her ministry started. She just wanted to help one person and then another and then 3. And then people gave her finances to help more. 10, 20. And she changed the country of India. And she told me to go and do the same. Find one person to help. We all get to do that. We all get to move beyond ourselves. And that is, it can be hard, but it can be a lot of fun too. There are some people in this church that are fantastic. The best I've ever seen at this, may I say. I won't point anyone out. But it is awesome to see when this happens. Next, let's look at Mark chapter 2, verse 3. It says, some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. So to carry the one requires proximity to pain. The reason a paralytic cannot move is the fact, is in fact that his body does not obey his mind, right? He was stuck on his mat. The King James Version actually calls it his bed. Now, did you know that anytime you have everything you need to function, but nothing functions, what's it called? It's actually called dysfunction. Now, if dysfunction at all describes you, you would be the one on the mat saying, I need some help. Now, if that does not describe you, then I ask you, whose pain are you in proximity to? It means that you're the one carrying the mat for someone else. But in order to carry someone's mat, you have to be close enough to them to know, to understand what's going on. So close that it probably even burdens you. There's something inside that comes alive that wants to help someone else, right? And I'm not talking about a burden as in like something where you hop on Facebook and you see something you don't like and it ticks you off. And I'm sure that if we had an open mic right now, this morning, many of us could tell of different ministries or missions or even organizations that maybe you support or that you've partnered with or that you love what they're doing. Why? Because you care about what they're doing. You see the need of what they're fulfilling. And this isn't just a vain emotional response. I actually believe that this is God's heart to care for someone else. We're made in the image of God, right? And God has given us his likeness. We're made like him. And we all have strengths that literally are made in the image of him. And I believe that our hearts, many times when we care for someone else, it's actually because we're connected to God the Father. And it's because he cares. It's a godly thing. It's something that, it's the body of Christ, his hands in action. And it's awesome. If your heart's expressing God's love for one another in a situation, it's not just you on your own. It's the Lord calling you to do it, right? That we've talked about this. Is this how the Lord speaks to us? Everyone can hear from God and how he leads us. In that simple, small calling, the desires of our heart when our will lines up with his will, which is the word of God, right? It requires proximity to pain, a willingness to carry, or maybe even be around dysfunctional people sometimes. Next, let's read Mark chapter 2, verse 3. And it says, some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. So to carry the one requires that we hook up with hope. We hook up with hope. Again, if you're the one on the mat, notice this. He didn't hook up with people who had beds of their own. So stop hooking up with people who comfort you in your crisis, but don't carry you to your deliverance. Again, I ask, who are you connected with? He didn't connect with four other paralyzed people so that he could fit in, right? I heard this once, if you can't walk and you hang out with people who can't walk, then you're normal. At least to them, right? But let me ask you the question, if you know someone who is dysfunctional, are they hooking up with people who are dysfunctional as they are, just so they can make themselves feel normal? I know that if I can't walk, I want to hang around people who can. Because maybe even walking is contagious. I know it's like that with exercising, right? I love hanging out with people who exercise. If I hear a story of someone who works out or walks far distances or whatever, guess what I'm doing usually the next day? It's awesome. It's amazing how leadership, how something so simple like that works. That's why athletes, I mean, and that's a whole other topic, but they want to train with someone who's better than them, right? Why? So they'll get better. And so I say, if you know that you're bad with money, hang out with people who are good with it so you can learn from them. If you're addicted to something, hang with people who aren't. If you want to be a better parent, get around parents who challenge you, who you think are good parents, who you respect and can learn from. Hang out with people who challenge you. Hook up with people who give you hope. Maybe that feels like it's hard to find sometimes. I know. But that's where we need to be hope for others. We need to dig the road for others, right? Pave the way. That's what I'm wanting to say. Pave the way for others. Hook up with people who give you hope. Now, where should all of this exist? Right here. In the church. In us. Why? Because we are the body of Christ. We are the expression, the reflection of Jesus. Everywhere we go. Now, this is a powerful statement. You have to surround yourself with people who can do what you cannot do so you can go where you cannot go on your own. So you can be who you cannot be on your own. If you're not on the mat, you already have the hope that you need. Now, these people who carried him were not seeking a healing from paralysis. Why? Because they could already walk. But as they believed that they could play a vital role in helping someone else walk, that's why they did that. They heard of Jesus, the miracles that he was doing. They wanted to get their friend, maybe it was a relative. They wanted to get them around Jesus. Why? Because for some reason they believed that Jesus was the only answer to that situation. And that is the truth for all of us. That's why the local body is so important. That's why this message is so important for all of us. Because Jesus is the hope of the world, which makes church the hope of the world, which makes you the hope of the world, every single one of us. We should be so free and so full of Christ's love that we want others to experience what we've experienced. Jesus has impacted my life so much that I actually believe that if everyone had, I don't say my experience, knew what I knew about Jesus, everyone would believe in Jesus. Does that make sense? And we need to foster that. We need to show the grace of God to everyone we're around. Hebrews 6, 18 to 20 says this in the NIV. It says, "We who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged." We have this hope as an anchor for our souls, firm and secure. We have this hope as an anchor for our souls, which is firm and secure. That's why we can sing the song, Firm Foundation. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. For those who were here weeks ago, I spoke on that, how the veil was torn when Jesus gave up his spirit on the cross. The veil in the Holy of Holies, the one that was, 60 feet tall, 30 feet wide. How thick was it? 4 inches thick? It took 300 men to put up. It literally was torn in two. Why? Because Jesus was the Lamb of God. He became that veil for us. So I ask you, who are you spreading hope to? We need to be people that go from being a seeker of hope to a distributor of hope. We always put our hope in Jesus, but I no longer seek hope. Why? Because I have it. Which means now we become distributors of hope to other people. That's right, you are. We all are. A distributor is someone who didn't manufacture the product themselves, but just distributes it. That's awesome. Next, let's look at Mark chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on." And this takes us to point number 4. Carrying the one requires that we overcome obstacles. I wish I could take this point out. I truly do. Our lives would be much different. But it requires that we overcome obstacles. The four men moved the paralyzed man until they reached an obstacle. And then what? There were people packed out of the door. There was not even any room outside the door. Now let me say, this is what separates the men from the boys and the women from the girls. How you face an obstacle tells me who you are. And it requires a persistence that doesn't quit. It requires determination for deliverance. Why? Because no obstacle can compare to the destination that God has for us. You don't exercise your faith by coming to church. Although this is a place where faith must grow. This is where our faith grows. And we need to grow. But we exercise our faith when we hit a wall, and that wall says, you can't get through here. But these men, they didn't abort the mission when they confronted the obstacle. Why? Because they believed that their miracle was on the other side of that wall that they kept hitting. They wanted to get to Jesus. Now imagine, I can picture them carrying him there. But I can't picture how they got him to the roof. Now I will say that in the Chosen series, I love how they portrayed it. They showed it that people had flat roofs and that there were stairs going up to the roof and almost like a door that opened, and they were able to drop, you know, with ropes and the mat, connect the ropes to and drop this man down. But scripture says in verse 4, it actually says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus by what? Digging through it. And then they lowered the man who was lying on it. That must have been a fun ride, right? That paralyzed man's mother must have not been there. I'm just kidding. If anything, she would have been one of the people helping carry him as well and maneuver him through the situation. But when he was closest to a miracle was when the ride was the roughest. It wasn't a time to quit. This was a time to be creative. It's a time to look at the wall and say, People look at obstacles and say, all the time, right? In other words, going back is not an option. We need to keep moving forward. Lord, save us. Give us success. That's what it says in Psalm 118. It was David's cry. But there was no going back. Now, these guys who carried this paralyzed man, they were amazing. Not only did they climb the wall, they tore off the roof. So I ask you, do you have some tear the roof off friends? Oh, that's a good question. Even more, are you a tear the roof off friend to someone else? Why? Because your friends can only take you so far. Now check this out. When they tore the roof off, they started lowering him down to Jesus. And the closer he got to Jesus, the further away he got from his friends. His friends that were carrying him, the further away they were. So I ask you, your parents, your friends, your spouse, they can direct you to God, but only you can press into God. And when it comes to a relationship with God, it's up to each one of us. Individually, it's up to you. Next, let's look at Mark chapter 2, verse 5. In the NIV, it continues to say, when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw their faith, it wasn't just the paralyzed man he was talking about, but all of them. Jesus saw the faith of his friends, right? That's what it says. So what if the person that you were carrying next weekend is the faith they need to make them whole? Sometimes it's a big thing. Sometimes it's as simple as inviting them to church. An invite can be the greatest miracle in someone's life. Anyway, where was I? Mark 2:5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And then in verses 10 to 11, it says, "But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And this brings us to our last point, point number 5. When Jesus carries the one, he position triumphs condition. Position triumphs condition. I want to say people don't win wars. There's so many fantastic historic battles, wars of people who have won battles, not because of their condition, but because of their position, especially their position with Jesus. Now, the further those men lowered him through the roof, the further he got from them, the closer he came to Jesus. And then all of a sudden, his position was going to change his condition. He said to the paralyzed man, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And this is one of my favorite parts of this story. What does Jesus call him? Son. What did the rest of the world call him? Crippled, paralyzed. But the Son of God, the creator of the universe, called him Son. And Jesus calls his soul saved before he calls his feet fixed. He does not speak to the condition of his body until he first speaks to the position of his soul. He calls him son while he's still broken. And Jesus did the same for us. We're all fixer-uppers, right? It's a great TV show, by the way. But Jesus says, paralyzed or not, you're still my son and my daughter. This morning, I'm proclaiming, dysfunctional or not, you're still, Jesus calls you son and daughter. Divorced or not, you're still his son and daughter. Healed or not, you're still a son and a daughter. Broken or not, you're still a son and a daughter. That's powerful. That's awesome. Jesus is the one who leaves the 99 to go after the one. Because he loves us. He cares for each one of us. He sees even the things that no one else sees. So this morning, if you have a need, bring it to Jesus. And I want to say, anyone who's watching at home, if you have a need, bring it to Jesus. Jesus already knows the need. But he calls us sons and daughters. He wants to bring deliverance and healing. Now, here's the problem with us most of the time. We would rather deal with our symptoms than deal with our sin. Or we would rather deal with the circumstances than maybe change our character. Sometimes we want to deal with our finances instead of dealing with our faith. And when we don't confront the challenges of being a better father or husband or wife or leader or being better stewards of our money or forgiving those who have wronged us in our past or dealing with the pain from our past. We make a bed for it and we become disconnected from God. So I ask, how many beds have you made for the things you won't confront? But the best thing you can ever hear God say to you is, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. There's more than enough grace at the foot of the cross. Once we get a revelation of God's grace and his goodness and his love for us, what does it do? It draws us near to him. We feel the embrace of a loving father. And that needs to be the first step for healing to come. And this was Jesus saying, you've been disconnected and in dysfunction, but now you're in my presence, and now I am coming into relationship with you. A relationship with God changes everything. If you've never accepted Jesus into your life, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to say, Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. I put you first. Forgive me of all my sins and all my wrongs. And he will wash them whiter than snow. Amen. So let me declare this morning, that if you're at all on the mat today, pick up your mat and go home. Amen. This morning, I ask, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for your word that teaches us how to live. Lord, we thank you for the story in the Bible. We thank you for the faith of these four men that carried the paralyzed man, that changed his life forever. Lord, I pray that we would be people who carry people to the point where we see them walk again. That we would be the hope that overflows, the hope of Jesus that overflows in our lives to other people. So Jesus, we welcome you in this morning. Lord, show us, reveal to us. Lord, give us your heart for other people, for one other person. Maybe it's someone that we don't even think about, maybe that we run across every day. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to each one of us someone that we can help. Someone maybe we might have even not thought of. And Lord, thank you that you call us your sons and daughters, that we are children of the Most High God, who is alive and powerful. Jesus, thank you that you are the hope of the world. Lord, thank you that you are with us in the impossible situations. And by the power of Jesus' name, I call those impossible situations as possible only through Jesus. We call those walls to be broken down that we can't, that someone can't get through right now. If there is an area of need, we call it filled. If it's financial need, Lord, I pray that you would show that person, that you would help that person. Lord, by the power of Jesus' name, we call that need filled in Jesus' name. If there is healing that needs to happen, I call you healed right now in the name of Jesus. The name that is above every name, the resurrection power that rose Jesus from the dead, we call it to make the impossible possible in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that your grace is always with us, always encouraging us. Lord, we thank you that we get to celebrate life with you forever in heaven. Continue to show us how to live. We declare that we love you today, Jesus. May we leave here filled by you and your presence, Lord, and wake up every day with your presence as well, that we might live for you. By the power of Jesus' name, we pray. And everyone said, Amen.